So in his book, Guide to the Formation of Christadelphian Ecclesias, Brother Roberts offers advice on our subject for this morning, which is ecclesias in relation one to one another. It's important for us to realize that he begins by stating that the bond of union between ecclesias is the reception of the one faith and submission to the commandments of the Lord. It is nothing less than a disaster when a split on secondary issues sets in where these other conditions of union exist. Now, in his prayer of John 17, the Lord speaks of the ideal unity of those who would be his followers. He says, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He goes on to say, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. From these words, then, we're instructed that the disciples are able to be one because of their separation. That's where it begins. They are not of the world, rather they are hated by the world, for which their Lord significantly offered no prayer. By the very nature of things, there can be no amity, no love, no affection between them and it, for the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And so it is then that those who would have us accept and respect beliefs and ideals emanating from and believed by the world unwittingly compromise a key element of the disciples' unity, their separation, and place themselves in grave danger of being enemies of God. While they might speak much about unity and peace, it's a unity without union of mind and belief, a peace not founded upon the mutual appreciation and acceptance of the ways of Almighty God, but based rather upon embracing worldly ideals. This unity is not a holy union of disciples with their Father and His Son, but a union with the vanities of the world. And this is not true unity or true fellowship. Now, it's clear to see that. We all understand that, that we in the truth are separate and to remain separate from those in the world. Now, it's vital also for us to appreciate that the oneness and fellowship which true disciples experience and for which their Lord prayed is something more than just being sociable or social or getting along with each other. It's a oneness that mirrors the unity that exists between the Son and the Father. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And by its very definition, this oneness can only be experienced by forsaking the world. The frog-like spirits, if you will, that would make us all equal. So this being so, the basis of separation is not just determined by the whim of human philosophy, but by the Father himself. And it comes to play when we deal with inter-ecclesial relationships, because frequently we're called upon to make choices, to make decisions. And those decisions must be based upon those suggestions produced by Brother Roberts in his guide to the formation of ecclesias. Now, ecclesias are made up of many different brothers and sisters. We all understand that. We all have different capabilities. We all have different needs. And we're all at stages, the ecclesias that is, are all at stages of development on the road to the kingdom. And so the Apostle Paul said, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. ecclesias in relation to another ecclesia. And you see the ecclesia on the left may be familiar to us. And then again, it may not. And if not, talk to someone. The ecclesia on the right, I believe, comes from Britain. It didn't really say, but I saw Christadelphian Hall, and I thought that's better than Methodist Church. So, in keeping with our ecclesial unity. Anyway, the Apostle Paul said, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Now, by the strong here, he means the strong in faith. And the word bear means to lift up, to bear away, to remove. But the apostle uses the word in a larger sense, and it means to bear with, to be indulgent to endure patiently, not to contend with. In other words, this is not the place to discuss the characteristics that mark out the strong from the weak, but simply to take note of the importance given in Yahweh's word to the need for consideration toward fellow disciples. Just as the natural families have members of different ages, capabilities, and temperaments, so do our spiritual families. Now, what is true of each separate ecclesia is that it's made up of a number of brothers and sisters with varying strengths and weaknesses. And it's equally true of the worldwide brotherhood. Ecclesias all have different characteristics, even though they're founded on the same basis of belief in the first principles of Scripture concerning, about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. If it's right that there should be mutual consideration within ecclesias for all members, and it is, then it follows that there must also be mutual consideration between ecclesias. And sometimes there is, and sometimes there is not. The scriptural analogy of the Christ-like body is as applicable to relations between different ecclesias as it is to relations between the various members of an ecclesia. This has been true since the days of the apostles. The first century ecclesia at Berea was known for its desire to search the scriptures daily. Philippi for its selfless and abundant generosity and hospitality. Thessalonica for its love toward all the brethren throughout Macedonia. These and many others have their counterparts in the 21st century brotherhood. And what binds these otherwise different ecclesias together is the common foundation they all share. They are all built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In every place they call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. The basis of fellowship. The freedom and independence of each ecclesia to organize its arrangements without direct interference from outside has two important qualifications. First, there must be wholehearted acceptance of the fundamental principles that define the brotherhood's beliefs and teachings, which for ecclesias in the Central Fellowship are summarized, of course, in a Birmingham amended statement of faith. Secondly, there must be due consideration shown toward other ecclesias, and indeed to the brotherhood as a whole, so that nothing is done that causes offense. These conditions are more likely to be fulfilled if there is regular contact between ecclesias, certainly between ecclesias that are close geographically, but also as brothers and sisters travel to other areas and become aware of the understanding and feeling that they might not otherwise have known. Problems are more likely to arise between ecclesias if there's been a history of isolationism or of ignoring how other ecclesias might react. Now, as concerns inter-ecclesial difficulties, they can arise from many causes. The most frequent cause occurs when a second ecclesia welcomes a brother or sister from another ecclesia who has previously been withdrawn from fellowship. This perhaps is the most common cause of difficulties. Now, while it's accepted by all of us that ecclesias must arrive at their own decisions about individual cases, there are ways or processes that help smooth the path for two ecclesias to resolve any differences between them and reduce tensions so that relations between the two ecclesias are not seriously damaged. When he was discussing this in his helpful booklet, A Guide to the Formation and Conduct of Christadelphian Ecclesias, Brother Roberts wrote about how to ensure harmony between ecclesias. He said, "The simple law of Christ, to do to others as we would be done by," he puts it differently, but that's the British, "will greatly help us to take the right and wholesome course." This is from section 41. He continues by explaining how by meeting together and sometimes even by joint decision-making, differences that could easily cause division can be discussed in a climate that can lead to peace. Not bad for a psychopath, an alleged psychopath, as we saw this Wednesday. Another cause of tension is when an ecclesia gives the impression that our agreed basis of fellowship, that is, the BASF, is not being upheld. Perhaps a member teaches something that seems to contradict one of our first principle beliefs, or enters into a way of life that appears to deny the practical application of those beliefs. Maybe it's been alleged that individuals who are not members of an ecclesia in our fellowship are welcome to break bread, or that some of the ecclesia's own members are attending other places of worship. We know this for a fact. We know this from our studies recently with regard to the Canadian situation. This is a viable problem. Now, while it's the duty of each ecclesia to assure that it upholds our basis of fellowship in all these situations, other ecclesias can reasonably inquire about issues like those described in order to be reassured that there is a common basis and that any serious deviations in belief or practice are taken seriously. Indeed, because ecclesias are all part of the body of Christ, there is a duty to provide the necessary reassurances, either by showing that the allegations are false or by taking action to make sure that the common basis of fellowship will be honorably upheld. Once again, the simple law of Christ will greatly help us to take the right and wholesome course. Such situations are not helped by an ecclesia refusing to discuss a neighboring ecclesia's concerns, or by other ecclesias rushing to judgment without first learning the facts. Following the scriptural precedents from Israel's history, the Brotherhood has always supported the principle of expecting local ecclesias to resolve difficulties that arise in their geographical area. While local investigations are being made, more distant ecclesias, however strongly they may feel about the case, should not get involved. These practical arrangements established to preserve proper relationships between ecclesias have indeed stood the test of time. While many ecclesias may feel they're kept busy ensuring that their internal arrangements run smoothly, there are serious potential dangers if the wider Brotherhood is ignored. Some early warning signs, if they are heeded, can assist in preventing a situation where a crisis suddenly develops. The difficulties begin when an ecclesia moves away from the heart of the Brotherhood for whatever reason. Sometimes because of geographic isolation, infrequent contact with other brothers and sisters, an ecclesia can adopt beliefs or practices that differ from those that exist in other ecclesias. Issues that are treated as uncertain details by other ecclesias can assume such an importance that they start to be treated as first principle topics, and therefore as fellowship, as matters of fellowship. So while there is little that can be done about real geographical isolation, its existence requires that isolated ecclesias should try to maintain contact with the wider ecclesial world. And of course, this can be done many ways. One, by subscribing to magazines in the Brotherhood, by reading books, perhaps best of all, by arranging events to which distant brothers and sisters can be invited, study days. There are good examples in different parts of the world of small, isolated ecclesias that really hold well-attended fraternal weekends or widely supported Bible schools, and they obtain very, very great benefit from meeting with brothers and sisters from different parts. So the key there, I think what he's telling us, is that it's very important to communicate, very important to stay in touch with other ecclesias, to see what's going on, whether for good or for not. In the case of our ecclesia, with the Canadian situation, I thought it was extremely well handled. We saw the problem, we examined the problem, and we voted on the problem. And we did not encourage our beliefs on other ecclesias. That is key. So when that situation happens around us, we've already gone through the whys, why nots, wherefores of that situation, of that problem, and we're settled, excuse me, in our own minds. Do you have a question? Steve? Oh. All right. But even if there is no actual geographic isolation, an ecclesia can produce the same effect if it erects a wall around itself through a failure to interact with neighboring ecclesias or to attend organized inter-ecclesial events in the Brotherhood. This situation can occur when an ecclesia has an especially defined approach to doctrine or practice. It may engage, for example, in a specific form of Bible study which creates a degree of isolation, or it may favor particular forms of worship that are not practiced by other local ecclesias. And I'm not sure where he's coming from with that, but I would suggest that perhaps in our day, these different practices may revolve around the breaking of bread, leavened bread versus unleavened bread. As many know, I'd say most ecclesias would break leavened bread rather than unleavened bread. I suspect that's one of the things that we might raise in accordance to what he's saying here. So these situations, he goes on, can arise from confusing what are essential first principle beliefs, unity, with long-held Christadelphian traditions, or from a failure to appreciate the uniqueness of our beliefs. These differences can even be sufficient to encourage some brothers and sisters to travel long distances in order to exercise their preferences. When it is felt necessary to bypass many other ecclesias to find the one that suits our particular needs, it suggests that we, and probably also the ecclesia, and the ecclesia we choose to attend, are in the process of becoming isolated from the Brotherhood as a whole. To remove any possible doubt, this is not an argument in favor of every ecclesia being a clone of all the others. We ought to welcome the range of differences that do exist, as long as there is full agreement about the scriptural basis that binds us together. But there should be deep concern when differences become so marked that they prohibit wider fellowship, and in the end create separate groupings of ecclesias, so that brothers and sisters start to move in their own circle and rarely, if ever, come into contact with those involved in a different circle. Okay, good. Finally, the value of periodic reviews. The solution, as already indicated, is for ecclesias to undertake honest evaluations of their position and to implement measures that will strengthen inter-ecclesial fellowship. Some of the questions that we might consider include: how good are our relations with our neighboring ecclesias? How often do members of other ecclesias visit us? Do they come from near or far or both? Do the ecclesia's members attend events arranged by other ecclesias or by inter-ecclesial committees? How often are the events arranged jointly with local ecclesias for study, for devotion, or for preaching? If it should prove difficult to answer these questions or any one of them positively, it's probably time to consider if there are any steps that the ecclesia might reasonably take to become more soundly integrated with the rest of the brotherhood. Just a thought. And with that, I'm done. Comments? Questions? Certainly, it's got to be a lot. You're usually the one that raises them. Who am I going to look at?
Well, certainly the point that you made in relation to the ecclesial relationship, being the understanding, the acceptance of the understanding and the acceptance of the scripture that is summarized in the BASF, I think that's really become a crucial aspect of our relationship. Because when it comes down to behavioral issues, I think that's where ecclesias can get in trouble, interfering with other ecclesias' business. In other words, there may be a situation that we would not fellowship, and how that other ecclesia handles that situation is totally their prerogative. So what that does is that creates, we have a situation then with that person, an individual who is in that behavior, but it should not affect necessarily our relationship with that other ecclesia, unless their position becomes a alteration of their acceptance of the BASF. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, if they're going to change their fellowship basis and their understanding for that one situation, then that needs to be looked at collegially.
Yeah.
But on an individual basis, I think, we won't fellowship with them because they allow this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Really has to be examined as to what their crucial position is on that, and not necessarily the individual application.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the broad view. I think if ecclesias accept naturally the BASF, then fine. That's the primary. That's the key. But he also goes on to use the example of a brother, say, from that ecclesia that we saw. Let me see if I can get that back. Say a brother in that Christadelphian hall is disfellowshipped. I think you may have covered that last week.
Right.
And he comes to this ecclesia in the white building there and would like to be reinstated in fellowship. Both ecclesias have the responsibility to cooperate, to mutually cooperate with one another. We don't necessarily, or the white building doesn't necessarily have to uphold the brown buildings. It's the responsibility of both to cooperate. All the information about the disfellowship from the Brown Building should be given with mutual consideration to the people in the White Building. And both get together, both examine the facts, and either the White opposes the Brown, or the White comes to its own conclusion and decision. And that shouldn't affect the Brown people.
Right, and that's Brother Roberts' point in section 42, yeah. Is that you cannot allow the fact that there has to be a collegial economy, that it has to be the White Building has to be free to come to its own conclusion, yeah. And the Red Building and the Brown Building do not therefore say, well, because you differ from us in your application of this, we will not fellowship with you.
Right.
Brother Roberts is very strong in that, unless the White Building is redefining the BASF in order to fit their circumstance, at which point then the Brown Building has to examine the White Building's application or understanding of the BASF and determine whether or not that's strong enough to say, no, we cannot fellowship.
Yep.
But you cannot do it on an individual basis. It needs to be broader than that.
Right.
Human beings who tend to gravitate towards that individual thing and make it into something that probably is bigger than it should be.
Yeah. True. Dave?
Yeah, and it's not just the acceptance of the BASF, but it's the acceptance of the BASF exclusively.
Okay.
We might see that as a minor difference, but there are people that will accept the both of them.
We see that in today's Bible schools.
Well, that exclusiveness is that word is very important because it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I think adding the word exclusive is probably, it's always sort of been understood, but throughout the years, there are some Bible schools that are exclusive about saying that we only fellowship on BASF terms or statements. Others do it, but also we know that they'll break bread with people that are unamended as well.
But that whole aspect enters into the conversation as being a doctrine matter. Then it's different. Okay, the distinction I was trying to make is on behavioral and creating splits along behavioral application of principles as opposed to redefining principles. If there is even just accepting the fact that the BOSF is equal to the BASF, it becomes a doctrinal issue, which was the whole point of the classes that we did on the human way.
Right.
So anything that is doctrinal needs to be examined. Okay. Like again, and not necessarily the Bible picks that other religion. That's not the point. The point is to be where do we stand
right.
On this issue. Okay, so that when it comes to our doorstep, because the brother leaves that Brown Building and comes to the White Building, well, this is where we stand on that particular issue.
Yeah.
So that we are prepared.
But right.
I think, along with what they were saying, is that those doctrinal issues, with the deviations from the BASF, and not being BASF exclusively, is a deviation doctrinally from the BASF, those need to be examined very, very carefully.
Yep.
And handled
yep.
Very, very differently.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well.